It's Tinnitus Awareness Week, which aims to improve the understanding of the condition. And joining me today is tinnitus expert Josephine Swinhoe. Hello, Josephine. Welcome to BFBS.
Good morning and thank you.
Now, you're an old-timer to BFBS. Haven't done an interview, she just told me, with in Hong Kong, so that's great. Okay, so Tinnitus Awareness Week. I think we've probably maybe heard the word, but some people may not actually know what it's all about. Can you tell us what it is?
Well, tinnitus is a condition that is caused principally by loss of hearing. And people will experience a hissing, a beeping, a very loud whistling sound, which is in, they might say, is in their ears or in their head. But it doesn't match with anything that is outside. So this is a hallucination of the brain. And it is really brought on because of some form of hearing loss or damage in the auditory cortex, in the hearing part of the brain. And Tinnitus Awareness Week aims to promote understanding of tinnitus and to help people know where to find support for themselves and indeed how to help their loved ones if they're not suffering themselves.
Now, you say about the conditions there, about loss of hearing. I always thought tinnitus was when you just heard the sounds rather than actually losing your hearing. Does it finally go to that stage, or, you know, is it really a case of losing your hearing straight away?
Well, what is interesting about hearing loss in people is that we can't repair it. So once hearing starts to go, it's gone. That's the first thing. So we must remember to protect our hearing. The second is that you can actually be losing your hearing and not notice, because on a daily level, everything sounds fine. You might perceptively begin to turn the television up or your radio up a little bit. But the hearing loss is so minimal that you would never say that you had any problem with it. And it is only when you are tested extensively in a clinic such as ours, for example, that these small hearing losses would become apparent. And what we understand now is that in the hearing part of the brain, as small parts of hearing loss occur, the brain, if you like, has an empty part. It gets a bit bored, so it makes up the sounds itself, and it is these imaginary sounds that people hear as hissing, zizzing, or a combination of all of those things with whistling on top. So it can be very, very upsetting.
Okay. I didn't really realise that, to be honest. Now, obviously, a lot of our military people listening, you know, they work with a lot of, you know, loud explosions, aeroplane noise all the time. Are they more prone to maybe losing their hearing?
Anyone who's working or living in a noisy environment is prone to losing hearing or auditory damage. Now, thankfully, the regulations around protection of hearing, you know, Safety at Work Act, are much improved to that of 30 or 40 years ago. So people serving in the Second World War or preparing munitions, for example, may have on a daily basis been exposed to far too loud levels of noise. What we would say is that anyone who has a noisy environment on a day-to-day basis should ensure that they are wearing their hearing protection whenever it is necessary. Now, I know as a former soldier myself, that is potentially an impractical thing to suggest. But what we shouldn't do is be going into recreational environments such as noisy gigs, you know, shooting ranges for recreation, and thinking it's okay not to wear hearing protection. There are some really clever hearing protection mechanisms out there which can close off at sudden similar gunshot wounds, for example. So ordinarily you can hear people speak, but if you do shooting for hunting, for example, as a hobby, then the noise protection kicks in.
Okay. Now, if people feel that they're getting to that stage where they are losing their hearing, what should they do? I mean, obviously they go to their doctor, but you know, would they be able to recognise the symptoms?
I think anyone who is experiencing tinnitus will be able to know they have tinnitus, because if you're saying, you know, what's that whistling? Can you hear that noise? Can you turn the television off, etc.? And the noise is still there, then the likelihood is you have tinnitus. One way people first experience is if they do go to a noisy party or a noisy music gig, for example, and they come out and they've got, oh, my ears are really ringing. That was a fantastic gig. But actually what they have is tinnitus, which maybe lasts a day, perhaps two, and then it disappears. But what they have experienced is tinnitus that someone will experience for days and months and inevitably for years. So that's the first sign. And if you have that ringing in your ears, you definitely should go to your GP. Because it could be something quite simple. Sometimes people have impacted earwax, not a terribly pleasant topic, but earwax plays a really good part in having a healthy ear. But sometimes it can build up and cause pressure in the eardrum, which itself causes tinnitus. So it's always worth going to the GP to see if it is something very straightforward that can be sorted out.
And then obviously, you know, you get your ears syringed and it's amazing because I love that feeling, to be honest, but we won't go into that. Right. What other things are you doing for Tinnitus Awareness Week? You know, where will we be hearing all about this? You know, are you going around the country doing bits and pieces or what's happening?
Yeah, well, we're certainly talking to a lot of people about two things. First of all, to protect your hearing. So, you know, wear ear defence, get some inexpensive ear protection or come and get some specialist ear protection if you need it. The second is something that we believe will help people who have just been diagnosed with tinnitus or believe they have it and who are about to go to their general practitioner and also the GPs themselves. And this is a tinnitus first appointment guide. And we created that having listened to our patients over a number of years saying, oh, you know, my GP says it's nothing to do. And we know that statistically, 63% of people who go to their GP are turned away and told that there's nothing can be done. And that's just not true anymore. There are some very good treatments. So if you think you've got tinnitus and you're going to go to your GP, visit our website, www.thetinnitusclinic.co.uk. Download the Tinnitus First Appointment Guide. You can find it in the Healthcare Professional section. Have a read of that because that will give you some ideas, first of all, about you know what you can do for yourself, but also the questions that are important to ask your GP. Your GP is the expert about what's available locally, and in some parts of the country, unfortunately, that's not terribly much. But in other parts of the country, National Health Service provision is really very excellent. There's also lots of tips on our website and some self-help techniques. Other places people can go are organisations like Hearing Link, which is an excellent charity working in deafness and tinnitus. And they have some very good tinnitus information with some excellent case studies about how people have been treated and how well they are now. So I think it is important to have hope about where your tinnitus may lead you. It's not all doom and gloom.
Fantastic. That's a great idea, isn't it, on the website?
Thank you.
So if anybody feels that they need to do that, we'll give that address again after the interview. So brilliant, some good tips there. And I think as well, hearing aids aren't so, you know, they're not as big as they used to be if it does end up being that route. I mean, they're so discreet now, aren't they? Amazing technology.
They are fantastic. It's a really good point you make that in the past, hearing aids were just these massive things that everybody could see and irrationally people regarded as stupid if they had a hearing aid. And I think that's because with old hearing aids, it was difficult to keep up with the conversation. So, you know, getting that little joke in or responding to something quickly was tough. But the hearing aids now are much, much improved. They hide behind the back of the ear. So even if you have very short hair, all that you might see if you look really closely is a very small wire going over the top of the ear and into what you might call the ear hole. But it's very small. The batteries last longer. The acuity, i.e. the clarity of what somebody hears, is very good. And there's also some fantastic supporting technologies that you can use, for example, with an iPhone that give you, you know, day-to-day, minute-to-minute control of your hearing aid.
Wow.
So I think I would just say to people, you know, if you can't see, do you actually walk out without glasses on? You know, do you not wear your contact lenses? Well, if you can't hear, just shouldn't you think about a hearing aid? And if it's tinnitus, then there are some excellent hearing aids that combine being able to hear better with treating your tinnitus. And those are certainly available from the Tinnitus Clinic.
Fantastic. And, you know, nobody should be embarrassed about a problem like that to get it fixed, really, should they? So some great advice there, Josephine. Thank you very much for joining us on BFBS. And I'll put up that website and everything on my Twitter account. So hopefully people can go and visit it. But thank you. And yeah, top tips.
Thank you.
Thank you very much then. Bye bye. Have a good day.
Bye.
Thanks then. Bye.